This is part two of two, and I'm going through this study of these four chapters, or mainly four chapters in the Bible, because I am speaking primarily to people who are knowledgeable about what we would call the world ruling system, this money power which rules over all the nations of the earth. And most of you who hear me are waging war against it in some manner. Now, some of you might think, well, you're not really actively engaged in a war against Mystery Babylon because you don't do too much, but listen. But if you talk to anyone about it, and if you pray to God about it, and you do anything that would injure it in any way, you are waging war against Mystery Babylon. And any study that you make from a natural standpoint convinces you that this monetary world power is a massive, all-encompassing thing which literally rules all the earth, as we read in Revelation 18, and it is a monster far beyond the power, or any power, that those people who are waging war against it might have, which is the reason I used the terms David and Goliath, because Goliath cowed the whole armies of Israel, and they wouldn't even go out to fight against him until David came along. This young stripling who had not even reached full manhood. Looking at David in the natural, you'd wonder if this man was crazy going out against this 8 or 10 foot giant with this coat of mail and these huge spears and swords. According to the account in the scripture, he actually had other men carry his spears, which they could hardly carry, and yet he could hurl the thing for yards at foes. So we are facing a great Goliath. Now, I'm going to read a few of these that we read last time, just to remind you, and especially some of the folks who were here last time. We read in Revelation 17 and verse 3 that the angel carried John away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And then after he gave a description of this two creatures, this woman riding upon this beast, verse 18, the angel told John, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Not just a representation of a king over a nation, but a ruling power over the kings, rulers of the nations. Now, I said I was going to do this because there are so many people who understand that there is a world-ruling power that is corrupting and destroying the nations who do not understand that God Almighty knows about it. There are tens of thousands of patriotic people out here who are concerned with and working against and frightened of this colossus that they see taking rule over their own nation and over the rest of the earth, but they do not know, and they have not been told from their own churches, that God Almighty knows about it, and God Almighty has decreed its end. So what we're doing here is looking at four chapters in the Bible that you can take this friend or neighbor or relative or someone who is waging war against Babylon and not even knowing what it is, and sit down with him for an hour and teach him very quickly that the Bible tells a story, that God knows about this. It is a mystery because most people don't know about it, and in fact it is a mystery to many people who know about it because they don't know it's in the Bible. That's your job, because God has opened the eyes and the minds of a comparatively small number of people to enlighten them with the truth that the history as we see it happening up on the earth today was set aside and is under God's control. So you have some very good news for literally thousands and tens of thousands of Americans who see the Colossus but do not see how it can ever be destroyed. Now, I mentioned only Revelation 17 and 18 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, and that literally is all you need to go through this. However, for your sake, I do want to read something in Revelation 13 which you may or may not use when you go through this with someone else, because there's another beast mentioned in Revelation 13. "And I stood upon the sea of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now, we read in Revelation 17 and 3 that this woman sat on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So here is an identical creature in another prophecy in the book of Revelation, and let's read the next few verses, because God asks a strange question here. And the deepest I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon with his power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So the people who saw this beast of Revelation 13 apparently decided by looking at it that there was no way anyone even dared or could make war with that beast. I'm reading that part of it simply to remind you that if we look at this great world power of Revelation 17, which I believe is the same one here in Revelation 13, from the natural, there certainly is no way we could make war with it. In the natural, we would go and hide. But there is something in the hearts of at least a small number of people in this land and in other lands that prevents them from hiding. They will fight and storm against and rail against and do everything they can, risking even their very lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to destroy this power. Even those who do not know that God knows about this power. And so the beast will do and will continue to do as it has done in the past. And as we read in verse 6 of Revelation 17, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The beast will have to continue destroying those who rise up to oppose her, many of whom will never understand until the day of resurrection what they really were opposing. But in our hearts and in our minds, God has given us something which makes us realize that that thing is evil, it is wicked, it is the very essence of wickedness in anti-Christianity and anti-Christ. We know that, even though we didn't read it in the Bible. We know it in our hearts some way. And tens of thousands of people are waging war against the beast because they despise everything it and Mystery Babylon stand for. So I say that you, people who have good news of Babylon's destruction, have a responsibility to take the time with many of these good people as you meet them, sit down with them, go through the Bible and say, I have good news for you from God. He's on your side, and you're on his side, even though you didn't know it. All right, the last time we read several parts of this, and I mentioned this Revelation 17 and 18. It is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, so God Almighty knows it is a world-ruling power. Now, many of these people who are opposing it are in fundamentalist churches, and they have been told that this thing they see will not take total rule until after they're gone, and they're going to be gone in the rapture, and so on. So they think they will never see the actual tribulation under the beast. If they insist upon that, remind them of verse 6 here and remind them that since 1917, more professing Christians have been killed by Red Bolshevism than perhaps remain alive on the earth today. Have you ever thought about that? I'm not talking about Anglo-Saxons or Israelites. I'm talking about professing Christians. They have killed upwards or above 50 million, possibly as many as 100 million. Depends on who you're talking to and how you judge a person is a Christian or not. But the slaughter has been unbelievable, and it goes on every day in all lands under Red Bolshevik's control. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah 50, one of the other chapters that we read from. We began in verse 1, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. And you should read all of this. However, verse 16 says, Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handeth the sickle in the time of the harvest. In verse 23 says, Speaking of Babylon's destruction, how is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? So it is the hammer of the whole earth. Its color is red. The sickle is mentioned as being in Babylon. Is it possible God is describing something that exists upon the earth today? And most of your friends and neighbors who read this will say, yes, that's right. The hammer, the sickle, and the red are the symbols, and the colors of Red Bolshevism or World Communism. In verse 24, God says, I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware, thou art found and also caught, and here's the reason, because thou hast striven against the Lord. And if there is one thing, ideology or abstract idea, which identifies world communism from other religions or other movements, it is against God. Every leader of world communism has made it plain that their intention is to remove all worship of God from the face of the earth and from the minds of men. Karl Marx said, we shall enter the minds of men and wrestle against God and cast him down from the seat of his power. To them, God's power is in the minds of men, and they're going to change men's mind, and they think that will destroy God. So this Babylon here is against God. Verse 28, the voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God and the vengeance of his temple. So those who will be declaring and speaking and writing and working against God, against Babylon, will be doing it where? In Zion. Not in some place called Babylon, but in Zion, the land of regathered Israel. Verse 45, therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. And I have covered this before. I believe it means literally a remnant of the flock of Israel will lead or teach or instruct the rest of Israel on how to come out of Babylon. The least of the flock will lead them out. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. Now, as we read on here, remember, this is all part of one prophecy, and as in other prophecies, in other parts of the Bible, the chapters and the verses are things that men put in there later. So this is just simply a continuation of the same prophecy. And by the way, I might add in that remark about the least of the flock, that certainly would place us in the position of being a David against Goliath. Remember, David was not even eligible to be in the army of Israel because he was too young and too small at the time he came against Goliath. Jeremiah 51 and verse 6, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. And we read that, of course, in Revelation, that Babylon had, the evil of Babylon had come before God to render unto her a recompense. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. And then he says, Babylon has suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even the skies. So do not waste your time trying to heal or patch up the old system. It's going. It'll be absolutely, totally gone. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness, and here is where we are to speak about Babylon and what God will do with her. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. So several times in this prophecy, way back in Jeremiah, about the fall of Babylon, he says the preaching and the work and the witness and the actual destruction of Babylon is going to take place in Zion. And that's why I believe this is actually an end-time prophecy, and the great events which will bring Babylon down, as we'll see later, will be in and among the people of regathered Israel in the land of Zion. Verse 11, make bright the arrows, gather shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon. And remember, in the ancient history, it was the Medes who destroyed or captured Babylon. So he says he's raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of the covetousness. And in the book of Revelation, of course, she is also described as being the one that dwelleth upon many waters. So it's very obvious from reading the two chapters in Jeremiah and the two chapters in Revelation that they are talking about the same thing. The comparison is adequate to prove that. Verse 25, Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, or destroying nation, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. In Revelation, we saw it ruled over all the kings of the earth. And red Bolshevism or communism is a destroyer. No matter what the land is before the communists take over, it is pauperized when they have completed their conquest. And this is what he says, a mystery Babylon here, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundation, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Then turn to Revelation 18. The same thing here, we read verse 18 of Revelation 17. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And the vision goes right on in the next chapter. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a great voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We read in Jeremiah that Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. So Revelation, the angel in Revelation, is showing John the same thing. She has actually made the peoples of the earth drunken or mad or insane. They do not function in a rational way, with the result that they and the earth are destroyed by following the precepts and teachings of Babylon. Verse 4, And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Jeremiah wrote the same thing about Babylon in chapter 49 and 50. And then listen to this command, if you please, of God to the people who are listening to this prophecy. After he told them to come out of her, then he said, Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which he hath filled, fill her double. Now that, to me, is a command to the people who are being oppressed by Babylon, that they are to rise up and destroy her. It's not a case of being neutral. It's not a case of just walking away, getting out from her, and then ignoring her. God commands those who understand the prophecy to reward her, to double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. These people who rule and reign in this mystery Babylon, this world-ruling empire, do not see their end or their destruction. They actually believe that they are building a world empire which will last forever, and they'll rule over all the peoples of the earth generation after generation. They do not see or understand their own destruction. But here God is telling his people to come out of her. He's telling them to reward her double for all of her works. He's telling his people that they will have something to do with the destruction of this world government. Verse 8, Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. It appears that her end will come in a short period of time. Here it's one day. I'm not sure what that is in prophecy. It could be quite a few years. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Yes, the people who have been made wealthy and have been given prestige and power and rule in all the so-called material things of the earth will have reason to weep and mourn. Because not only will Babylon be destroyed, but their wealth and their power, of course, will go with her, because it's her system that has given them this ability to plunder and rob the people of the earth. So surely they'll weep and mourn. And then here the merchandise, and this is very revealing, this verse 12 and 13, because I believe it lists the merchandise in the order of value under the Babylonian system. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beef and sheep and horses and chariots. And here is the least valuable commodity in Mystery Babylon system. And slaves are lives and souls of men. Now that is the absolute reverse of God's order. So you can see this is anti-God, it's anti-Christ. It is the world turned upside down, if you please, as we read by the prophet Ezekiel. Their system of wealth and consideration, what they value, is the exact opposite of God Almighty's. And that has to be reversed and turned upside down. I'm sorry. A number of patriots and Christian people have given a lot of store in gold, and they think gold is going to do some great thing for us, but that's Babylon's wealth. And when it's turned upside down in God's kingdom, man will be of the greatest treasure on the earth, because after all, Jesus died and shed his blood to redeem mankind, not gold and silver and precious stones. If gold at that time is worth less than wood and ivory and cinnamon and ointments, I guess it'll be pretty cheap, won't it, in the new order of the ages. So anyway, this is going to go. These things will be turned around, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Now, as you read these verses of Scripture, with any person who sees the general rule of the wealthy and the powerful over all of the earth, should read these verses in detail, because there has been extant in the land for a long period of time the general teaching that Mystery Babylon is only religious. And in fact, many point to the Catholic Church and they say, oh, that is the Scarlet Woman. And some say, well, that's the Scarlet Woman, and all the Presbyterian churches are her daughters. But as you read Revelation 18, the things that are revealed as Babylon is destroyed, you will recognize that Mystery Babylon's power and what it is aimed is not religion as much as it is material wealth. It is economic, it is money, it is trade. And so this should be pointed out, because I am convinced that among God's people are hundreds of thousands and millions who are ensnared in the Catholic Church, and they are ensnared in other false religions, but they are not part of Mystery Babylon. Like the rest of us who are ensnared in its economic power, and we all are to some extent, we are forced to pay Babylon and serve Babylon, but those who are ensnared in its religious tentacles, remember, the religious tentacles are not Mystery Babylon. They are part of it. But it is economic power that is actually the controlling apparatus of all of the earth. So don't turn your listener off by trying to tell him that his church is Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is much larger than any church. What are God's people to do when they see the smoke of her burning? Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great sea Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. And I think those phrases have to do with the church, because Christ's body is also ensnared by Mystery Babylon. And it has to come out of there too. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Just think of that. Most of the people of the earth do not see that now, but God Almighty says, here through this book of Revelation, through his word, that when she is destroyed, the people of the earth will see that it was that system which was the cause of all wars and all deaths upon the earth, all during her reign and rule. So they will see that it is not God Almighty's way which has brought desolation and destruction upon the earth, but it has been this world system. Those who do not know it now will know it as they see the destruction of the system. Now, you might want to read, if you have time, a few verses in chapter 19, because I'm convinced that any sincere Christian who is sat down for 1 hour by you and read chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation and 50 and 51 of Jeremiah is going to be interested in further reading. So, chapter 19 goes right on. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever, or for ages and ages. The evidence of her destruction, apparently, will remain with the people of the earth right on into the kingdom. So they'll see that this thing did rule, it has been destroyed. And it will always serve as an object lesson for even the people in the kingdom of what happens when they turn away from God's ways. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah 51. We read the description of Babylon's fall in Revelation 18. Now listen to this in Jeremiah 51, verses 60 through 64. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sarai, When thou comest to Babylon, and shall see, and shall read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So in Jeremiah, a stone was tied to the book, and it was thrown into the river Euphrates, symbolically to sink as Babylon would. And in Revelation, the angel cast a stone into the sea, so it would sink symbolically as Babylon would sink. In both cases, of course, covered up and totally drowned by what? By water, by the word of God, so that nothing would be seen of Babylon, totally covered by water, by the word. Now remember, I speculated that the 10 nations in that beast that gave its power, or gave their power to the beast, and then turned and destroyed the woman, would be the United States of America, because it was divided into 10 nations some years ago, or 10 regions. And you all know that we are Israel, so this would be the greatest nation of Israel, having given its power, because we have. We've given our wheat, our food, our technology, our arms, and our money and everything to communist countries for 60 years. Our wealth has built up world communism. And in Revelation 18, the 10 nations built up the beast, then the same 10 nations turned and destroyed the woman, or Mystery Babylon. Well, turn with me to, let's read in Jeremiah 51 and verse 13. With whom does God wage war against Babylon? Now remember in Revelation 18, he spoke to the people, come out of her, my people, and then God's people were to reward her and in effect destroy her. In Revelation 51, and you should read it again all the way through to get the context, but let's read verse 13. O thou that dwellest upon the waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come in the measure of thy covetousness. Then he gives more description of the war against Babylon that would destroy her. And then we read in verse 19, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. The portion of Jacob is God Almighty, right? And he's the former, or creator, of all things. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance, the Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. God is making war against Babylon, but who is God's battle axe and weapons of war? Jacob Israel, right? Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. Now he's talking about all of those parts of what he is breaking in pieces, which is Babylon, right? With thee, Jacob Israel, will I break in pieces Babylon. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. Even the false churches of Babylon will be destroyed by God's battle axe and weapons of war. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done where? In Zion, in your sight, saith the Lord. You see, we're not talking here or reading here of the old Babylonian Empire. Jeremiah is speaking of the same future prophetic entity that we read about in Revelation. And where has Mr. Babylon carried out most of her plunder and her evil and her wickedness? In Zion, in the lands of regathered Israel, in the United States and Canada and Western Europe, and in the lands of our people. And God says he will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil. And how will he render it? By using Jacob Israel as his battle axe and his weapons of war. So, repeat again, this is not a case where we can say, well, we know about this, we'll get away from it, we'll shut up, we'll be quiet, we won't do anything about it. Because God has decreed that he's going to use his Israel people, and that means you, to destroy Mystery Babylon. And he apparently has given you an insight into it so that you can understand it, you can teach your brethren in Israel, and you can bring the good news and the help to all these little dudes that are running around here, not really knowing what they're doing. All they know is that Goliath is out there and he's got to be destroyed. And they have to know what David knew, that Goliath had challenged the armies of the host of Israel, and when he did that, he placed his name on God's list for destruction. And that's what Mystery Babylon has done, because they have been against God, and that will bring their destruction. Now, there is another entity whose destruction is prophesied in Jeremiah, and I want to read this. You may not want to use this, or you will have to use your own decision on that, as to whether you want to follow through with this after you have talked to your good Christian friends who are opposing Mystery Babylon and given them this hope that God is going to destroy this wicked entity that rules over all the earth. Just before Jeremiah gave this prophecy of the destruction of Babylon, he gave a prophecy of the destruction of something else. And I'm going to read that in Jeremiah 49, the chapter just before it, verse 17 of Jeremiah 49. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Every one that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. Now you know, and I'm not sure whether you want to spend this time in a first session with anyone else to explain what Edom is, but you know Edom is Esau, and Edom means red, and the Esau-Edomites today are known as Jews who are waging war against Jacob Israel, which is primarily what we call the nations of Christendom or the Anglo-Saxon nations. So immediately before Jeremiah prophesied the destruction of Babylon, we find he also prophesied the destruction of Edom. Now, I'm going to read in Jeremiah 49, but I want you to read in Jeremiah 50, because you're going to see a strange similarity of the destruction of both of these things. You can start reading in verse 40. I'll give you the verses. You look at Jeremiah 50 and verse 40, and I'll read Jeremiah 49 and verse 18. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. You read verse 44, and then follow each verse after that, and I'll drop down to verse 19. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her, and who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? Who is that shepherd that will stand before me? This, of course, can be explained by Jesus Christ is the shepherd who will stand before God in the destruction of Edom. And you're reading the same thing in the destruction of Babylon, right? You read verse 45 in Jeremiah 50, and I'll read verse 20 in the previous chapter. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Edom and his purposes, that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. So here's the least or a small remnant of what? The flock of God, Israel people, will be involved in the destruction of Edom. The next verse. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, at the cry the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread his wings over Bozrah, and at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of him be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. See, the destruction of Esau-Edom almost totally parallels the very words that God uses to describe the destruction of Babylon. And I'm not sure whether you want to go into that with some of your friends on the first session or not. It may take a little more time, but I do believe that if you will take a good Christian American who is fighting Babylon but doesn't know what he's fighting in relation to the Word of God, and you will donate to him an hour of your time and sit down and read right through Revelation 16, verse 17, right on through 18, right on through chapter 17 and chapter 18, and also read Jeremiah 50 and 51. If he is a sincere Christian, a believer in the Word of God, a person who wants to learn what God says, you should so intrigue him with what you've been able to show him from God's Word in relation to what he knows is going on out there, that you have made a Bible student out of him. You have made a person who has a great hope and a great comfort, and he can probably go back in sleep nights instead of lying awake and worrying about this terrible thing that's coming upon the earth. You will do a great favor to any American Christian patriot if you will spend an hour with them in these two chapters. Now, you can go back and read about Esau if you wish, and that's something for another study. Let's close very quickly in Matthew 13, because this will give you another follow-up to read something which they perhaps have never heard explained quite this way. And this, of course, is the parables, the parable of the tares and the wheat. And the reason I'm suggesting this is the probability is that a good share of the people you will talk to presently believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And they think the Christians are going to be removed from the earth, and then the wicked will stay. And you can turn right over after this study to the parable of the tares and the wheat. I'll just read a couple of verses. Matthew 13, verse 40 through 42. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, or the end of this cosmos, the end of this world system, not the end of the planet Earth. And here's what will happen. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then, of course, the parable of the net, verse 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good in the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So you can read those parables and show them that this also fits exactly with Jeremiah and with the book of Revelation, that it is God's people who will be right here on the earth when Babylon is destroyed, and in fact, God will use them to destroy Babylon. Now, a lot of them don't know that. They're so convinced they're going to fly off to heaven that they do not believe or understand they have a work to do. God has a job for them in the destruction of Babylon, and reading Jesus' parable will show them that Jesus agreed. It is the wicked who will be destroyed, and then the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Praise ye the Lord. I pray that you'll use this, that you'll not just sit idle on your hands. God has given you a mighty sword,